Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, and I will be reading verses 1 through 10. To back up just a little bit, if you have been following the Holy Week story throughout this week, you have seen a parade, a Last Supper, a foot washing. You have received a new commandment. You have watched an arrest, a betrayal, a trial, and you've seen an unjust execution. And now today, we see a miracle. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going over to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards who were there at the tomb were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. But he is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you this," said the angel. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples what they had seen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know if this ever happens to you, but it happens to me all the time. I hear a line from, you know, a movie I'm watching or a song that's on the radio, or I read something in a play or in a book, and this quote, it just sticks with me, gets stuck in my head. And it generally takes up residence there for quite a while. So I don't know what kind of quotes get stuck in your head, but I bet you they are ones that motivate you or encourage you or bring you joy or maybe just kind of make you laugh until you cry. Those are some of my favorite things that get stuck in my head. So you know what I mean, right? Like you hear the first half of a quote and you immediately know how to finish the second half. Well, we're going to see if that's the case this morning. So if I said, "Drove my Chevy to the levee," you would say, all right. Now, if you're really good, you know who sang the song is
Don McLean.
And the name of the song is
American Pie.
Okay, I knew the choir would get that one. Or if I said to you, "It was the best of times," you would say,
"Worst of times."
There you go. And that is in the book.
Yeah. Oh,
these guys, I can't hear you out there because of them back here. So A Tale of Two Cities, written by... Very nice. You guys are paying attention in high school English. Okay, so if I were to say to you in a very terrible Southern accent that I won't even attempt, "I have always depended on the
kindness of strangers."
Lovely. Which is from a play called
Streetcar Named Desire.
Maybe I should just turn around and stare again. Which was written by
Tennessee Williams.
Alright. Spoken by the character whose name is
Blanche
DuBois. That's right. Okay, and one more. If I said to you, "Houston, we have a problem." That's right. Now, if you answered that quote, "Houston, we have a problem," you're actually misquoting what the astronauts actually said when the moon landing was happening, right? It's in the movie. What's the name of the movie?
Apollo 13.
Apollo 13. What they actually said in real life is, Houston, we've had a problem here. Uh-huh. So anybody wins any money on Jeopardy because of any of the things I just said, give me a little shout out, right? So you see what I mean? There are some lines, there are some lyrics that just get stuck in our heads and they stay with us forever. So like an iconic line from a book or a play or a movie, the line from this story, in the resurrection story that I just read, that has been imprinted on my mind, and hopefully by the end of the service will be imprinted on your minds as well, is this. The women hurried away from the tomb. And here it is. Afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Afraid, yet filled with joy. That is a delicious line in this story. So just imagine, put yourself with this group of women early in the morning, and they're trudging their way out to the tomb where Jesus has been buried 3 days ago. And in that group is the woman who gave birth to Jesus and then watched him die on the cross. And the others in that group are women who have followed him all of his life, faithfully. And now they go out to the tomb to anoint his body in death. After the angel delivers the news that the tomb is empty and Jesus isn't there, now imagine the battle that must be going on inside of these women. The battle between fear and joy, to see which of these two is going to win in the end. For you see, the women are afraid. They're afraid of the unknown, and they're afraid of something they don't understand. This is not how things were supposed to go, they thought. They're also afraid of wanting to believe what the angel says, but thinking, this has just got to be too good to be true. So wrestling with that fear is also joy. The kind of joy that filled the hearts of the wise men when they saw that star over Bethlehem shining brightly in the night sky. It's the same joy that fills the heavens in God's heart when one sinner repents. It's a powerful, sustaining, everlasting kind of joy. It's the kind of joy that somehow gives these tired and bewildered women at the tomb the energy to get up and run to tell the others the good news. They're rushing, hoping against hope that Jesus really is risen, hardly daring to believe that he has conquered death. So this morning, if I say afraid, yet you would say filled with joy. These two emotions, fear and joy, they're wrestling with each other inside these faithful women. I think you know what that feels like. It's the feeling you have when you're a first-time mom going into labor. The feeling a child has on his or her first day of kindergarten. It's that feeling you have the first time you get behind the wheel of a car. It's the feeling a college senior has as you walk across the platform at graduation. It's a feeling a girl gets when she packs up her dog and all of her worldly possessions and moves from western Pennsylvania to southern Ohio. And it's the same feeling I think you have when you wake up on that first day of retirement. Afraid, yet filled with joy. Fear and joy all sort of smoosh together inside these faithful women, trying to believe something that seems too good to be true, that Jesus really has risen from the dead. In the end, I'm not really quite sure that one emotion actually wins out over the other. Rather, it kind of seems like fear and joy somehow become a part of each other, kind of collapsing into each other. Because sometimes when you mix fear with joy, it becomes awe and reverence. And oftentimes when God is up to something in your life, it is both terrifying and fearful and exciting and joyful. There's something about that that makes you want to draw closer to God and yet maybe sort of run away at the same time. I can't help but think that this is the attitude and the posture we should have before God and in His presence. This overwhelming sense of awe and reverence of His power and His love and His strength and His justice. Fear and joy mixed together, creating something new, creating awe, creating reverence. When we begin to feel afraid yet filled with joy, like the women did on that Easter morning, that's when we know that God is at work. We know that we are standing on holy ground and that something sacred is about to happen. Afraid yet filled with joy, the tired and grieving women find themselves in awe of what God the Father is doing for them and for the whole world in the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus the Christ. They are in awe knowing that their lives will be changed forever because of this very moment and the reason why we are all gathered here today. And this overwhelming sense of awe and reverence gives them hope. Hope to persevere in the face of death. Hope to sustain them as they face the brokenness of not just their world, but the world we all share together. On the cross and in the empty tomb, the women and the disciples saw love made real in the death of Jesus Christ. Though it was sin that nailed Him there, it was love that kept Him there. And when we have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that know this love made real, we too are afraid, yet filled with joy. We too are overwhelmed with awe and reverence and strengthened for life in Christ, prepared for a life of service, not for ourselves, but to others. Loving one another as Jesus loved, as He commanded during that Last Supper. It gives us hope. Because He lives, we can face whatever comes tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is mixed with joy and becomes awe and reverence. And it colors everything that we think and we say and we do. Now, between you and me, don't you tell my mother, afraid, finish that line for me, afraid, yet filled with joy, is totally something I'd love to get a tattoo of. I can't think of a better way to describe the women and those other disciples and what they were feeling on that day. Afraid yet filled with joy. I can't think of a better line that describes what it feels like to be a follower of Christ every day, to know Him as your Lord and Savior. It is terrifying because you don't know what He's going to ask you to do. But it is joyful and it is exciting as God draws you closer to His side. And your first instinct may be to run away, and you have perhaps done your fair share of running away. But my prayer is that the joy of the Lord will turn your fear into awe. And so it is with these same feelings of fear and joy that we gather around the Lord's table to share the sacrament of communion together. Joy, because Jesus invites us to be his guest at his table. But fear, because we're not really worthy of his invitation. And so, unworthy and undeserving, afraid and yet filled with joy, we are left with only awe and reverence for the Holy One who opens the way to eternal life and who is inviting us to believe something that seems too good to be true, that Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.